I'd like to welcome everyone tonight to our work meeting. Special work meeting here on our water project. Roll call.
Hi. I'm the general water team. Kevin?
Here.
Mike?
Here.
Bull, I'm not sure if he'll be here.
Hey, Bull, Cole.
Rondi?
Here, coming to the water meeting tonight. There. Okay. It's been caught before we get started. We'll be in a minute.
Well, wait just a minute if he's on his way.
Who's that?
No, my phone number is...
Coulter called him, so he's coming.
He's screaming my phone calls.
Yeah, since Jeannie didn't get an answer for him, I thought, okay, let's go ahead and start. Oh, wait a minute if he's on his way.
I'm gonna have to tell him to save my contact info so that he doesn't scream my call. I can do his power remotely, so I can do that.
All the office ladies used to tease me, they're like, you're always late on your bill, you don't shut off this, we're gonna shut you off. I said, well, don't run on having water when you get home.
I was threatened though.
I could live with cameras, lady.
It's the fridge and the freezer, it's hard.
Yeah, remember that, our generator, though, we'll be all right.
We did a project down to, five to 10 years ago.
All right, we can go ahead and start now then. Turn it over to you, Robert.
Okay, well, I'd like to introduce Devin Schultz. I think some of you maybe have been even working with me on this. Mostly in the background, but he's been over here a couple of times. That's not a man, this is Devin Schultz. To help finish up the PER report, funding application, different things like that. Last time when we were here, sorry, I've been sitting all afternoon, so I missed that for a minute. That's all right. Kevin had asked, okay, where do we go from here? We've been eyeing this for a while, and now that we've made this decision, where do we go for it? So the first page on the cutout is a little bit of a just kind of a summary of the next steps going forward. So first thing is a contract approved by the Rural Development. Maybe we'll just go through these and we'll start, and then we'll talk about each one of them after that. And start the interim financing, bid documents for the test well and the connection well. RFP for treatment plant equipment and pilot of that equipment, and then at that point put plant and specifications together to build everything else that hasn't been built at that point. So that's kind of the high level summary. Contract for Rural Development to be approved. Rural Development utilizes their own contracts, both the contract with the engineering and also the contract with the contractor. They have their set forms. It's called the EJCDC forms and documents. I can't tell you exactly what that stands for, but it's Engineers Joint Council or something or another. But it's a national organization. RD use their contract. So we put together a draft contract. We'll leave with you tonight to look it over, when you're good with it, ship it over to Rural Development. They've got to look at it. Once everybody's good with it, then it can be executed and rolled. So we'll leave that with you. We're done here tonight.
So that contract is basically between the city and RD?
That would be between Sunrise, the city, and RD.
Okay.
It's a contract for design services.
It'll be for the engineering.
For the engineering, and then there'll be a separate contract that comes in later date will actually be...
For the contractor.
One for the well driller, the city, and rural development. Rural development will be joined with the HIP throughout the whole project. Anything that, any documents that happen to get approved, from contracts to pay requests, change orders, anything that's contractually, contract with the attorney, all that has to be approved by our HIP. They're joined the HIP, use their money, and use their process, so...
Now, just for the record, the RD is the ones that have provided the grant and the solar.
Yeah, that's why they're involved. At the end of the day, they basically want to make sure that you're spending money on what they have approved you to spend money on.
Right.
That's what it all boils down to. They don't want you to decide, you know what, let's build a new sewer lagoon with this money, or let's repave all our streets with this money, or something like that, or go to Mexico for the month, or whatever. So anyway, that's the first steps in getting going. Starting interim financing is the next crucial item. The way the rural development funding works is they've offered you a loan and a grant. And you spend their loan first, and then you spend the grant money. Their loan, they don't actually finalize their loan with you until you've spent their entire loan, which for rough numbers is $4 million. $4 to $5 million is in loan. And so you'll spend that $4 million and then close the loan with them. At that time, you're tied in with their bond at that point. And so interim financing is, you don't have $4 million sitting in the coffers to spend and then take that loan, so it's basically a construction loan, kind of. And so that'll be one of the very first steps out of the gate is contacting banks. There may be a bank that you deal with quite often, and getting some interim financing set up.
So does that have to be for the 4.2 million then, or does it have to be for the full 5.2?
The 4.2, the loan amount.
Okay, right. And then when we hit that amount, then the grant?
Start spending their grant money.
Okay, all right.
Exactly. And so that's going to cost money, that interim financing costs. They'll pay interest on it. And so there's a budget in this project for that interim financing. And so it's an eligible project expense. The next thing that's in line is the bid documents for the test well and production well. That's not really a critical path item per se with getting to the end of the road, but it's something that can be moved on, and because the two well sites up there are risk. There's risk associated with it. And so in our minds, it's like, chuck into that, get that done, get that out of the way. Because if the first site doesn't look good, that gives us still time to go to the next site before it starts to become a critical path item. And so in our minds, that would be one of the first things to jump into and get that ball rolling. It doesn't take a whole ton of time to get that ball rolling, to get that rolling and start drilling a test well.
How big is that test well? I mean, size-wise.
Usually the test wells, in order to actually be able to pull water out and stuff like that, you're usually 8 inches or so. Then the production well will be quite a bit bigger, probably 12 to 16 inch casing, depending on what we find in the test well.
In the scope of acre feet, or do they rate them in acre feet, or do they rate them in gallons per minute?
Gallons per minute.
So does an acre foot, is that just what it says, 1 acre at 1 foot?
Exactly. 1 acre foot is a volume of water.
Right.
Whereas gallon per minute is a flow rate of water.
Right.
So
if you got so our wells, like if you was to look up an existing well and it had a specification of 750 acre feet or something of that nature, or would it give the gallons per minute?
Usually, when you look up a well, there's a couple of things associated with it. One is its flow rate.
Which would be the gallon per minute.
The gallon per minute. And the other one is the drawdown, which is when you pull it at 750 gallons a minute or whatever. How far does that pull the cone depression down right there by the well? So you'll see that in the well filter report. But then also attached to that well is a water right, which the state says you're allowed to take this much water out of that well.
So is that where the 700 acre feet would come in? Okay.
Is some wells will say you're allowed to pull 750 acre feet. Some wells will say you're allowed to pull one CFS. Some will say you're allowed to pull this much, but don't exceed 750 acre feet. So it really just depends on how the water right was established.
Right.
And so how the water right will turn into the well, you know, assuming we get a good test well, we've got good quantity of water, and it's worth finishing the development of it. You've got your wells right now, your water rights are, there's multiple points of diversion on most of your water rights right now that have your wells and your spring all attached to it. And what will happen is this new well, we do a change application and move that new well into those same water rights. There's four or five different water rights that you own, and attach that to those same water rights. And so, again, you're still limited. You can still only pull the maximum amount of acre foot. In my recollection is you have about 2,000 acre feet total between the various different water rights that you own. You're still limited to that. And then also at a certain flow rate. Usually wells, from a water right standpoint, get pushed to acre footage because the flow rate doesn't match much where I was coming down the creek.
So how many gallons is there in an acre foot?
325,000 gallons.
325,000. Roughly. Okay. I've always wondered that. Never ever looked it up.
And Kevin's answer is the easiest for me to remember, which is you got a 1 acre swimming pool and you fill it 1 foot deep. That's an acre foot. To me, that logically makes more sense than 325,000 gallons.
Then you ask Siri how many square feet's in an acre, and then she'll tell you that.
So the next item down the list, which is part of the critical path for getting finished, is the RFP for the treatment plant equipment. There are many, many, many different manufacturers of treatment plant equipment out in the world. The design of everything is pretty specific because it's the whole guts and the horse of what's going on inside the building. So you can't really design the pipe coming into the building and leaving the building and the electrical and everything that's going on inside the building. You can't really design that unless you know what that piece of equipment looks like. And every company is completely different from one another. They use different membranes, they use different racks, the housing, different things like that. So you do an RFP for the treatment plant equipment and you select which manufacturer you're going to buy. And then at that point, you can design around it. You can design, do the construction drawings and stuff like that around that piece of equipment that you're going to buy. And so the RFP for the treatment plant equipment is kind of that next critical path item. And that would be going on at the same time as the test well and stuff like that, getting that procured. Following that is what's called the pilot the equipment. And what that basically means is to take that membrane and you put it on site, and the water that's going to be treated goes through that membrane and you use it to make sure that that membrane isn't going to prematurely foul and cause big issues, that they're compatible. Basically, the water source and the material that membrane is made out of is compatible.
Kind of a test run. Yeah.
And I'll be honest with you, the state requires that. The very, very, very first membrane plant that got built in the state of Utah used a pretty crappy membrane, I'll be honest with you. It's a pretty crappy membrane, it's built over in Emory County, and the water over there had a lot of silica in it, and that membrane hasn't been used in the state since, to be honest, but it sucked, and the silica dirtied that membrane up, and it fouled, and like 3 years later, they had to throw them away and put new ones in, and it was a mess. And so since that point, the state says, you got to pilot it, make sure that water's going to work. The membranes that are produced today, this is like 20 years later, membranes that are produced today are pretty robust. So I would actually, what I would like to do is say state would like to skip that step if we could, just because the new membranes are so much better. You're able to clean them with high concentrations of chlorine, which knocks all of your inorganics off of it. But, you know, it's part of the process we've got to do. From a scheduling standpoint, that kind of needs to happen when it's warm. It's tough. The pilot plant is a skid that's, I don't know, 10 feet by 5 feet. It stands up, and if it's freezing outside, that's a pain in the rear end to go through, to keep heat in it, keep water moving through it, so it really has to happen when it's warm. So in our schedule, that's got to be ready by next spring to summertime to make things really jive.
How long does that usually take?
Most of those pilots will go 3 or 4 months.
So basically a summer, a season.
Well, most, the better part of the season. By the time you get set up and call.
So can you start design until you make sure that that works?
Not very much, because the whole purpose of the pilot is to see if it doesn't work. If it doesn't work and you're right, 3/4 of the way through the design, you got to throw it out and get a new manufacturer in. That's a lot of wasted
time.
So you really, you can design the pipe coming down the can into it. There's things that can be done, but as far as the actual
treatment,
design around the treatment, you've got to know that you're going to do.
On that same note, Rob, I'm just kind of looking at this big picture you give us. It's a question. So you get your design, your well date, or your test well date. Would it be better? What's the thought process? Is it good to know what your test wells are before you design them?
So we typically put out a bid package. It includes the test well and the production well in the same package. So the same driller is going to mobilize, drill his test well, leave his tank right there. He's not going to remobilize, it's already there. He's going to just drill the production well. So we'll bid it out as a package, with the option that we pull the production well if things don't go well. And so you design the well, and the design of the well is just that. It's the hole in the ground. It's not the, not the pump house and stuff like that. It's the hole in the ground, which includes the preliminary engineering report, which I hate how the RD requires you to do a preliminary engineering report for their stuff. State requires you to do a PER, same acronym and the same name, but it's two different documents. The well PER is basically looking at source protection. Take a look, who are we going to have to get source protection from, make sure that we can get that before we actually start drilling. Well, that's what the preliminary engineering report for the well is. And so that's part of the well, getting that well package. There's that PER package. Bid documents for the two wells, the test well and the production well both.
So this test well, that's kind of an exploration well?
Uh-huh, it is.
We really don't know. I mean, I think we have a pretty good idea how deep we need to go.
So, we do. So, the history the history on the well, the hydrogeologist says the best place for wells out here. Up here is a little bit risky. Mm-hmm. So what we did is we, by going up here, there was a local well finder, I don't know what terminology.
Witcher. Well, Witcher.
That's what I was calling it.
Well, Witcher.
Water Witcher, located two spots up East of town. One that's up near the, kind of close to where the acid house is, kind of the pull-off is on the right-hand side before you hit the mouth of the canyon.
Okay.
And one's across to the north, kind of north of the diversion dam, out in that area. So that's where, and I don't remember the guy's name, that's where the local water witcher says, right here, go this deep, you're going to get this many gallons per minute. Right here, go this deep, you're going to get this many gallons per minute. So those are the two spots, which...
And generally, the deeper you go, the more water you're going to have.
Not necessarily.
It just depends on the aquifer. Sometimes you, sometimes there's certain areas of the state that you get too deep and you find a new aquifer and it may be brine, or geothermal or something that's not good for drinking.
Yeah, you can overshoot it.
Yeah. The biggest thing up here, all water that's down here comes from up here. Most of it. Some of it probably comes down from the sand pitch and stuff like that. It's a matter of finding the fractures. There's fractures, there's faults up there, and the fractures are the big cracks and stuff that are in the rock, and the water travels in those. And if we can hit those fractures, we're going to have good water. If we miss those fractures, we're not. So that's the risk.
Well, it seems like to me the geological reports kind of favored that area too. They felt like that could be a good area. Correct me if I'm wrong, but
there was the hydrogeological report had four out here, one up here was kind of near where your tanks are at. It wasn't quite that high. Mm-hmm. And so then we asked the hydrogeologist how about up here, and then that's basically his answer was hit the faults, hit the fractures, you'd be great. Maybe a lot of water. That's where the test well comes in. If you pull the test well down, we'll know if we hit fractures. But the water witcher, he's pretty comfortable. And maybe he finds the fractures. I don't know. But we've used witchers before and had great luck. So I definitely don't want you to think that it's not, because the science behind it's looking at geology maps I'm not doubting that. Science or magnetism or whatever happens with that at all, because we've had great luck with well witchers in the past. So
cool.
If it doesn't work here, but it looks at him instead of me, so that's interesting.
Was that Bill?
What's the name?
Bill Sorensen. Is that who you had do it?
Bill Litch, the one north, and I think Arnoldson Litch, the one by the acid house.
I don't remember. I remember the one gentleman that did it and then moved away.
Yeah, that's Sorensen. Yeah.
So
he actually, what was interesting, he went around and he witched the one out the cemetery and told us just, I mean, I didn't tell him what we've been getting out of it, but he told us, yeah, you'd be getting around, 70, 90 gallons a minute out of it or whatever. He says if you'd go 30 yards to the east, it'll be a good well. It was weird. But
there you go. There's your irrigation well, 30 yards to the east.
I don't know. It's weird. I've watched them, and you know, we hit three or four spots. We spent a day, and we hit several spots. And the one that was north, the one I liked, was the one that was north of the flood dam. But it might interfere with the project up there. So
that one was moved and relocated because the first.
No, it's marked.
But in the report, because the dam was going to be expanded, we needed to be outside of the reservoir.
Right.
And so we have to come back and do another spot.
Oh, okay.
A little further to the north.
To the north, right.
To get away from the future reservoir. And so, because the first one was right.
You
know, to be impacted by the plans for the reservoir. So, anyway, that's kind of an overview of what's next, so to say. Now, what did I miss?
Pretty well there. In the schedule, the detailed schedule, there's a few goals, obviously, the fulfillment was red. And that's kind of the sticking points or the critical path items. So if we can get away without doing the pilot study, or if that goes quicker, then it'll shorten the timeline for the whole project. We've got a little more flexibility with the well. We plan on doing a few different construction contracts. Robert mentioned drilling the well. We can do a separate one for the well house and the piping both to the treatment plant and to the well house. They can all be done while we're monkeying around with the pilot study and the design for the treatment plant.
So it sounds like the pilot study is something you would want to get started. Well, you're really not going to be able to do anything with that till spring.
You're just got to get everything ready.
Right.
If the equipment RFP takes a little time, you've got to prepare the documents, lay out the criteria of what we want that treatment plant equipment to do, the flow rates, water samples, different things like that, so that they offer to us their product that's going to work. Evaluate that state Division of Drinking Water. They're not funding this, but their oversight to this, and they've got to review that. So it takes a little time to get that ball rolling, so that come April or May, it's ready to be installed and start up. So it's that process is something that to have them over the winter time so that it's ready to go come spring. Because if you get it shipped here in August, well, you know, September and October, you're starting to freeze the nights. That's just a lot of extra hassle to deal with freezing temperatures if you don't have to.
Well, it sounds like there's plenty to do between now and spring.
Yeah. There is, like I say, the well doesn't have to happen between now and then, but it can. And my thoughts, like I say, because there's risk associated with it, let's get going on it. Let's drill it, see what we've got. If we have to move to the other site, that still gives us plenty of time to move over to the other site. So, the last sheet, spending projection, which, why is this important? The only reason this is as of any importance is when you start talking to interim financing, your banks, they're going to want to know this information so that their construction loan or bridge loan, you know, how long is it going to go out, how fast are you going to take money. You can see you need very little money at first once you start drilling the wells and ordering equipment, different things like that, then all of a sudden start spending bigger chunks of money in a hurry, and that impacts how much interest you get. So
you're expecting this to last 2 years? Let's see, no, it'll be 21, 20, just over a year then.
22. The construction will be dropping up. May of 22. So yeah. Almost 2 years.
Yeah, almost 2 years.
And there's some, Devin mentioned,
you're not
separate contracts to get the pipe going so the pipe can get coming down. And so those are kind of best fitting some things into make it work. If you, for some reason, decide to push maybe the pipe or the well house or something to do it at the same time as street plant, but they have to push it. Make that contract go a little lot longer, which case it'd probably go out that full construction season of 22. Just kind of depends. This is kind of, we kind of compressed this as much as we felt like it was reasonable to compress.
And
what's that?
And realistic.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's, yeah.
And like, could we start doing piping in, say, the spring and let that project carry on through the summer and that kind of stuff?
Yeah, good.
That's feasible, I would think. That would be more reasonable. Generally, bids are a little, they're going to come in a little lower in the early spring versus in the middle of summer when all the contractors are tied up and busy.
Yeah, so we've got the wellhouse and piping going on next summer.
Is that what you're showing on your graph?
Yeah. Down near the bottom, like the third line up, the wellhouse and piping. Going on next summer.
So if that could bid early spring, right?
Yeah, it could do. It could probably slid up and get documents ready for early spring and start.
That's for sure, like going out to bid.
May.
May. May right now. But.
I would hope we could get that out about the middle of March.
The piping could, but you'd have to push the wellhouse off if you did it that way, because you'd want to have some drilling information at that point. And if you left the wellhouse as part of the tree plan, just did the piping, and you could do the piping at least down the canyon as a project, and then let the wellhouse and stuff kick off a little bit.
Depending on the winter, we won't be able to get up there.
No, you're not going to be able to get up there, but let's say you can get up there last May, 1st of June. You don't want to wait to start bidding it at that point. You want to be able to be ready to go to work at that point. If you've got that contracts out in March and there's heavy winter, those guys have got basically April and maybe part of May. That's only a month to get mobilized and get ready to go to work. I mean, it's just, I would think that we ought to take advantage of the time frame so that we can utilize the most part of our summer next year.
Do you think they'll have to see where it's going to do the bid, though?
Well, yeah, it'd be great if they could drive it, but,
I got snowmobiles, but
where did we envision the treatment plant? That's the thing. Where's the
plant's right near the house.
Right, so we know where that's going to be, and we know where the water's at, so we know we got to come down the canyon.
Yeah, I think what Cole's saying is a contractor wanting to bid it, is he going to want to drive that road to kind of see what's going on, and that's the question. We can bid it with him seeing it, not seeing it, just not even seeing it.
Well, how far up is the well? It's below the upper power plant, isn't it?
No. It's actually to the spring.
This is the spring we're talking about.
For the treatment water.
Yeah.
So where's it at then?
Up Snake Springs, down to the acid house.
Huh?
Clear up Coal Fork.
So that's where the water can be come from that we're treating.
Yeah.
Coal Fork. Okay.
So where's that at? I mean, I know where the upper power plant is, and then...
Okay, you got to come down the canyon. You know where the Peaky Pond is? The power...
Like just below the park.
I know where the diversion is up there and all that.
So there's a pond up there on the
south
side of the road.
Right west of the power plant park. You know where the power plant park is?
Yeah.
All right, come west a little bit. There's a road that goes south up that canyon. There's a peaking pond right there at the bottom of that road.
Yeah, I've never been up in there.
Yeah, so, well, it's right there. You just drove by it 100 times and haven't noticed it.
And it's gated. Most of it's Bear Mountain Ranch or what used to be it.
So where's the spring? Is it south? Then it's gone up Pleasant Creek. It's over.
It's in Southport.
Southport, okay.
Or south.
I'll get with you and take you on a field trip, Paul.
Okay, because I don't know where it is up in there. I had it in my mind it was up Pleasant Creek that spring we got up there above the diversion dam up there.
It's actually up.
I was looked at one point, then it was backed off, but that was looked at one point to go.
Because there's quite a spring right there.
Yeah, what this is it's the existing spring up at Sneak Springs that's that's surface influenced, and so right now it's just, it's already been developed, it's just being dumped into the creek because it's contaminated. So that's where the pipe's going to go up, so we can capture that, bring it to town.
And the treatment plant will be right there by the acid.
Right there below.
Just below the park.
Yeah, well, it's right above the, as soon as you go where the whoopty goes.
Yeah.
It's right there.
Yeah, I know where the acid building is.
So how much water does this spring produce? 300 gallons a minute. Snake Spring, is that what it's called?
The part that's under surface influence is 300 gallons a minute.
What are we capturing off of that right now? What are we able to use from that spring right now?
Seems like it's in the upper 200s, is what my recollection is.
Aren't we using a more better than half on that? No?
No. No, you're probably only, I don't know, 75 to 100 gallons a minute, so. Because the biggest part of that spring was.
So you're talking we're only using maybe a third of it, or?
Maybe. Because the other rest of the water that's coming in right now is Barton and actual Coal Fork. Coal Fork is the highest one, Snake Springs is the middle one, and then Barton's down lower.
So with this treatment plant, we should be able to, we'll have 300 gallons a minute of usable water.
That's at low flow.
Yeah, it should be an additional 300.
But didn't we determine that we would be able to even treat a lot of the, correct me if I'm wrong, but aren't we using all of the water coming out of that canyon?
No.
Part of it for irrigation.
Irrigation.
And part of it for drinking water.
Yes.
And theoretically, we could treat all of that water with the treatment plant. Right?
Right. Where the treatment plant will be sized to be able to pick up a little bit more, but not to pick up the whole.
Not all of it.
Yeah. That would be a humongous treatment plant.
So 300 gallons a minute?
Yeah, we can bump it up, we can bump it up a little bit without costing the whole lot.
When we talked originally, we talked about the treatment plant consisting of modules that could be expanded, right?
Right.
Is that still,
that's still
feasible? I mean, this thing's been dragging on for, 2 years now?
I think I was 16 when we started this.
four years? Well,
10 years, so.
Probably has been 3 or 4 years. So.
But yeah, the plan is, the way it works is you got a rack and you got modules in them.
Yeah.
Treat the water. You always build them so that you got some empty spots. So down the road, if the spring flow kicks up and it's producing 350 now instead of 300, or decide, let's take some of that water out of the water out of our hydro line or whatever, and let's get that in, whatever water, and we can catch more water in. At that point, we just buy new modules, $3,000 a piece, plug them in, and we treat more water, just like that.
So, well, the thing of it is, we knew we had, we call it the Snake Springs, but there's a lot of other springs up the canyon, too, that eventually could be developed and piped into it as well. We got water running down the penstock, and we got water, there's springs up there that theoretically could be developed as well.
If you have the water, if you have the water right too.
If you have the water right, but the plant will have some elbow room in it.
I think we do have the water rights to them. And Dan can tell you a lot about them as well, because he spent a lot of time in that canyon working on those springs when he was with the electrical and whatnot.
How big a pipe comes down that canyon, Coulter, right now?
16-inch.
Is that the penstock?
That's the hydro line. Mostly 16. It's an old cast. It's an old.
It needs rebuilding too.
It needs rebuilt.
That's coming out of Coal Fork.
No, this is up at Sulphur Springs, clear up to the area, right below the Forest Service line.
Okay, yeah.
I want to say it's a 16 or an 18 that comes down that, but it needs to be, got tons of leaks and it needs.
Yeah, it's old.
It's old.
We repaired it not that long ago, a couple weeks ago, and or we repair it with only 12.
Yeah, it varies in size depending how far you are down to get, but I want to say it's 16, 19 for a drop.
So the reason I bring that up is, yes, we're getting X amount of water out of Snake Springs, but who knows what the future holds? And they want to be able to expand the treatment plant if necessary. You know, maybe it might be 20, 30 years from now, but yet that possibility does exist.
We plan to have a little bit of expansion into it. You hate to get too aggressive with expansion because that just costs more money, and you hate to have room that doesn't get used. So it's kind of a and as we start putting the RFP documents together, we kind of nail that down a little bit of how much, you know, 20%, 30%, whatever extra space on those modules. Then you can also even plumb in just space, you know, just physical space in the building also to bring in a whole other rack at some point if you want. One of the plants that we did down to Washington County, we did that. They just had a place for rack. About 10 years later, they wheeled one in and had a great big overhead door to get it in and put it in and fixed it up and did a big increase. We had a whole new rack, went from two racks to three racks, and so there's flexibility.
Well, there might come a time when your culinary water becomes more used for your irrigation water. I mean, there's a lot of things there. You might take some of your irrigation shares and treat them. It just depends. Maybe we just don't know. It's
there is, and that's.
What about the wells? Do the wells you don't advocate happen to treat those?
No.
Depending on what water, like.
We really hope that we find good water that does not have to be treated.
Yeah.
Chlorinated, yes.
As far as filtered and all that, no.
Yeah, as far as filtering, we do not, the plan is to not. And that's you know, the same problem you had with the cemetery well. We had to grout the top 100 feet. That's to keep the surface water from getting in there so that you don't have to filter. That's the whole reason for that. Is to keep the surface water out. So anytime you drill a well, you want to keep the surface water out, and you hope that you find a source that's not high in nitrates or high in arsenic or anything like that. If you have a water source that's high in any of those, then
you have to get accordingly.
To do that, for sure. Existing wells don't have that, so there's not a lot of indication that should be a problem. But it's always a possibility.
I'm trying to remember, was it arsenic or something?
Well, we're going to drill this well, how far will it be from the treatment plant?
Say again.
How far will the prospective well be from the treatment plant?
One of them's right there close to it.
Yeah.
Real, real close. Same general little area there.
That's what? Just across the creek over, is that the one to the north? Well,
there's one that's across the creek to the north. There's one over there, but then they also sited one on the same side as the road as the treatment plant. So it would be right.
That'd be easy to hook into if we had to.
The same site.
Then 30 years from now, if you had to, you could build another building if you needed to and do a treatment, do the same thing, couldn't you?
You could, but we don't want to have to do that if we don't have to.
No, we want to be able to act on what, that's what we're saying. That's the reason for the building big enough to house additional modules later on.
What will one rack produce usually?
Oh, any it's all
it's
shapes.
Depending on how much you're treating it.
All, it's all shapes and sizes. They have all the racks that we put up in Ogden. It treats a total of I can't do the math, man. It treats a total of 17 million gallons a day. I think there's 9 racks there. They're big racks and they're tight. They have a lot of filters in them.
Maybe water types play a lot of it. There's a lot more mud and sand in it.
Yeah, that has a big
how much space it takes for each rack.
What's called a flux, which is the flow rate of water through the membrane. And Snake Spring water is clear, it's clean. I mean, for the most part. The average Joe was to go up there and see the water dump in the creek, fill it up in a cup, and say, "God, I can drink that," and you probably would be just fine.
We already did that.
And so there's not a lot of material being pulled out of the water. Usually these membranes, they save budget to last about 7 to 10 years roughly, just because they get dirty. The plant that we did down in Monroe is very similar to yours, where they had a good spring, it's just surface inflows, but looking at it with the eye, it's clean. Well, those filters have been in place since 2005, and they've never replaced them. They're going 15 years on something that should have lasted 7 to 10. And so the fact that this is spring water that's fairly clean, it's going to be very, very low impact to the membranes, which is great for the longevity. You still don't want the budget.
However, I can see the MPH when I pull them, so it wasn't that clean.
So you won't drink it, huh?
No. Not as large as I've seen in those filters.
So,
the bugs is just protein.
Till they come out the other end. Yeah.
I can't tell you how many times I leaned over the creek and got a drink of water and walked up the creek 100 yards and there was a dead cow laying in the creek. I'm alive.
In comparison to like the one in Ogden we're treating, Pine View Reservoir, that's just dirty water. You got algae growing, you got all these things that really make it tough for the filter.
There's a pre-filter in these two. They're a pre-filter. I worked in a filtering plant out to National Land for six, 7 years, yeah.
Well, this will be very
good. Underwater and stuff out there while I was...
Yeah, you put in a pre-filter, which is usually a 100 or 200 micron screen. And basically its big purpose is to protect the membranes. You don't want any leaves and sticks and twigs to come through. And the membrane's plastic. And you don't want to rip it. If it rips it, you got problems. And so you have this pre-filter on it, a screen.
Yeah.
Anyway, I hope this has answered some of the questions that you had.
I have one question.
Perfect.
What kind of flow rate, do we have any idea what kind of water we're going to get out of the well?
Well, we have a target that we're shooting for. And we're shooting for 500 gallons a minute.
Okay. And that's just going to go right, and it will be chlorinated and go right into the system.
Go right into the system. It's a crap shoot. I think the Witcher, I'll have to look. I've got it written on my notes. I want to say that he was estimating like in the upper 400s or... Do you remember Kevin?
I have them written down in my planner.
He was somewhere close to that neighborhood, but that's the target from based on growth and stuff like that of what Mount Pleasant needs.
Uh-huh.
500 is awesome.
When we were doing that, he would estimate 100 gallons from 100 gallons, and we didn't even mark them. Anything we marked was in the range that we wanted, and it was probably in that 500 range.
So that's our target, what we really hope for. It's a gamble. I mean, it could come out at 70, like the one at the cemetery. It could come out at 1,000.
Yes.
How deep does a culinary water well have to be?
Well, it depends on the aquifer. But at a minimum, it has to be over 100 because you have to seal off the first 100 feet.
Okay.
So I believe that this one was pushed for 400 to 500 feet, is my recollection.
I don't remember what
number is that. I want to say it was, I think I've got it.
So which one are you going to attempt first? Or which one are we going to try first?
The PER. We did. We got funded for the far one because it cost more. So in the PER, we put that one in because it cost more. With the thought process that if we put the test well there and it fails, we move over here, do a test well, the savings in the pipe will help pay for the second test well. So that was kind of the strategy. It doesn't matter. We could still go this one first, which would be by the acid house, and then move over to that one if this one failed. It really doesn't matter. But the plan for the PER was to go there just so that we have the budget for the
pipe one. And the infrastructure we need with that well.
So,
is it both on city property?
I don't know the one on this side was.
No, the one on the north was on Peterson's property.
Have they got anything worked out for that yet?
No, nothing started going down that road at all.
Another item on schedule is property acquisition.
How much of that did we buy? Peterson's over there, 40? 40 acres?
There's a flood dam area, yeah.
There's all the rest of the, where the pond would be, because they own half the water in the flood, or flood dam area, that reservoir there. So we bought the property that went north, all of the property north where the new flood dam was going to be and so forth. And I don't know whether it encompassed this well site or not. I don't.
That's what I was wondering.
Yeah.
I understood. Was it 40 acres?
I don't remember. It was.
Somewhere in that area.
40, 41, somewhere that I remember.
Yeah, somewhere in there.
I wish I had a better memory, but I don't.
So to say which one to go first, we look at the data, but if the well, which you said equal on both, if you thought same flow rate on both, I'd say let's go to the close one first. Because if you save some money, that allows.
And go and see the property already, you'd be ahead of the step, not have to do all the property.
Do we need to still want to go after that property?
Depends on that.
In case this test well fails us, that we don't have to then go after purchasing that property for the well driller to move right over to that other spot rather than him leaving and coming back, or?
There ought to, I don't think it hurt to have some preliminary discussions, whether we, not necessarily buy it, but hey, we're looking at doing two spots, we're gonna start here, you know.
Yeah, see if that well was on the property we got already.
Maybe some earnest money or something like that, since hey, if we need to, we may want to buy this.
Well, you talk to them, because the price will go up.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to figure out, there's a lot of landowner town in that area. I've got Jack Johnson, Jeff Jordison, and then there's Nice Sampito LLC. I'm not seeing any Peterson names.
This is where the flood dam.
You're aware of your.
I just know it, and it's a little bit west of the flood dam.
It's all right.
It actually goes up on the hill.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you gotta get, it's owned by, what's this, Peterson up there?
Chuck.
Well, Christine Holman and their brothers.
Right, well.
They've split it all.
Yeah, they both split.
They own to the north. There's only two owners up there, and we bought the one out. We bought below the flood dam, and we bought north of the flood dam when we made that purchase.
They've got, Tom Means is the other one that's right there below the flood dam, but he's got that higher house. He's a lawyer, I don't know.
It'd be interesting to find out the wells on the bar we got.
Yeah, we could go to work on that. Now that we're in the process, we can start going to work on those kinds of things.
I bet your dad probably already knows.
Anyways, any other questions?
So, you need a con, the city needs to start looking for funding right now, correct me if I'm wrong.
Funding's.
We've already started that.
Yes, we need to start looking for interim financing.
Yeah, really, that's what I meant, interim financing.
We've contacted Cache Valley and Zions Bank, both of them, a week ago.
I believe Dave is having lunch with David Ames on Friday to discuss.
He said sometime this week he was, and Zions Bank has actually been reaching out to us also.
And haven't we done business with Zions?
With both.
We've done with both.
With both?
We currently have loans with both.
Oh, do we? Are they the same kind of loans? Interim financing?
Thing with the thing across the road, would it be worth reaching out to Wells Fargo?
Yeah, we could.
I would hate to say that that would be a deal breaker, that we didn't talk to them over something like that or something.
We could.
I mean, just out of your, it might sugarcoat another deal. I don't know, just a thought.
So we need to be looking at financing, and then we probably need to get a contract with you. Is that right?
So I'll leave this to the mayor.
Holy cow.
Wait a minute, you better let us out.
Before you read.
I don't know about you, but when my insurance guy asked me one of them, I tell him to, all right, give me an overview of it.
So, again, I mentioned, it's an EJCDC contract form. Everything that's in it that has been modified, it flipped for the first.
I want you to read this to tonight and tell me tomorrow what it says.
Yeah, right. So he's going to tell us tonight.
Anything anything that we've added has been bolded. So look at that first page.
So like here you put.
And the description of the project, you know, who, Mount Pleasant, Sunrise.
Sunrise, isn't it?
And all this other stuff is part of their form. And frankly, we can't change that. Earl Dalton says, you're not going to change this if you want our funding. And so that's basically, so as you flip through that every once in a while.
A lot of the bold changes in there have to do with American Iron and Steel, which is a requirement for rural development funding as well. We have to comply with the American Iron and Steel standards. So if you're reading all the bold spots, those ones will get old real quick.
Because they'll say the same thing the whole day of time for the question.
So is our right of way coming down the canyon? Is it big enough to lay another pipe in it, Coulter? Do you know? Are we big enough right of way coming down the canyon that we could lay another pipe coming to the tanks?
Part of that gets pretty tight in there.
Do you know, Sam?
It should be. Because they've already done a bunch of work up there before.
I guess the worst part is going from cement to coal, though, up that side of it.
Yeah, we're not doing anything up there.
I'm saying from like the acid plant down, from our treatment plant, well dump in. And
I was thinking of going up to the spring, and there's a couple of test blocks.
Yeah, but most everything down there is, all the pipe is laid in the road for the most part. And I'm sure that whole road's wide right away. I know it would be because we'd have to get up and into it. And
the worst part of the road is from Steve to Cole.
You know, and so as long as you're staying with the road, and if the pipe from Steve to Cole don't fall cold in the road.
No, it actually don't.
It comes up out of the way. And it's all been redeveloped here in 2010.
Yeah, it falls out.
Get around then, whatever they did to Steve.
So is there property acquisition bill into this budget, into this fund?
There is some.
Yeah, there's $140,000 budgeted.
Budgeted for property acquisition.
Mm-hmm. Purchasing land and easements.
Both. No, that's in the schedule here. I mean, we got some. So we decided to track the first test hole over by the acid building, or we want to try the other spot first?
Well, like I said, I want to double check the mills to make sure that they're both similar producers. The one out there is, if he says it's going to produce double, then I'm going to say let's go out there. Yeah. If they're both similar, then I would recommend we stick close to the acid mills.
I think you just go back to where you started. You go back and re-witch them, look at property lines, and, you know, decide, okay, which one's most practical. And I think the witching thing, it's impressive to watch them work. And they'll tell you
stories.
They tell you the depth, they tell you about how many gallons. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you've got those sites pinpointed. And just revisit that and see if you get the same results, the same.
You've got all wrote down what they projected in.
Yeah, we GPSed the spots and took on what he said. We got that all stored.
Because it's just a matter of spending a day up there and looking over your circumstances. And if this is on other property, you're going to have to contact those owners and let them know that, you know, we're advocating that. And, you know, if if it has to be moved a little bit to where it's on our property, that, you know, those things could all be.
That's risky.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have the winter snows. This.
If you move it too far, you could be out of the.
Well.
The aquifer.
Well, what I'm saying is, but you're going by a Witcher's recommendation anyway. So if the Witcher says you got more water over here, 100 yards
right,
north, south, east, or west, then it's, you know, it's a gamble no matter what you're doing.
Yeah.
You might be able to find something.
Yeah. What'd be, to me, what would be somewhat more convincing would be if another Witcher pulled in there and confirmed the first sides, you know. Mm-hmm. Now you got two sides that says this is where it goes. Or this is where your best bet is.
Right.
Don't we have the technology that can look at that?
I wish.
This is crazy.
You invented that, you'd have.
Actually, you'd have
it. Back there in Virginia, they drilled that mine, that hole down to them miners, and come out
and. They have the technology, and we actually have. We used to be a partner with a company that had it, and we sold it off. They have to have a well in the area, and then they run out a while and shove another rod in the ground. And then they run a current through it, and the current follows the water better than a current than it follows the ground. And then you have some little highly sensitive magnometer thing that measures that current. You can kind of follow the flow path. The problem then is you got to have something down in there already so that you can get the current down in. But they'll do that a lot to follow plumes, like contamination plumes, stuff like that. They'll do it, and they'll map out where that's at. That's frankly cost more than the test well. So
that was just amazing to me that back in Virginia when they drove that shaft to get them miners out of there. They literally come right down on top of them. They had to move out of the way.
They have stuff like ground penetrating radar and everything.
Part of that's because they have to survey everywhere where you go in the mine.
Yeah, so they had GPS, they knew.
They know exactly where that mine was at. So they can come in at the angle and hit right dead on that. We're trying to find that water.
So we're still relying on the guy with the stick, huh? He's a little wire now.
And then he puts it on his belly.
Trying to find a fault.
Yeah. Is it a stick?
So they do it this way, and then they stick the coil on their belly button. And how it wiggles, they can tell you how much water it is and how deep it is.
And they're good at it.
Amazing. Oh yeah.
I can't both.
So this contract, I like I said, I mentioned earlier, I apologize that it's this because it's six times thicker than it needs to be, maybe 10 times thicker than it needs to be, but it has to be that for their requirements. The costs that are in there match exactly with the PDR, which also matches the funding.
That funding schedule originally.
Funding schedule that they provided. The stuff with the engineering matches exactly, as well as the PDR that's in it. But there's a whole lot of description that described it in that. In that document. So,
I don't know if you've brought it before, but the big initial piece of this was through the PDR, to submit for the funding, environmental report, the well siting study. It's all been done. The city's paid for.
So the environmental report has been done?
Yes.
You already paid for that.
So with the funding, the city will get reimbursed for that. As soon as we submit our first pay request through the loan.
Property acquisition, is that?
If we have to buy it.
If we have to buy property?
Yeah, so that's not part of that contract.
Right.
The contract there is just for engineering, but that is the budget that RV has approved. And it's based on the PDR, but that's a budget for property.
Okay, so the engineering on this thing is, am I reading this right?
$6 million? Yeah, I think that's right.
$272,000 plus the $10,000, so $282,000. Does this copy machine work?
So it's $272 plus the inspection is $59.
That's probably what I'll work.
What do you want, a copy?
We'll just run and make some copies of this so we can all look at it.
So we gotta add these three numbers together.
Those are three copies here.
This is the design and construction and management.
Design, construction, management.
Of the project, not just the plant.
Yeah, right, the whole thing.
So, and then the resident project representation, inspection.
And can I still this?
Yes, here, just this page.
Just that page?
Just that page.
I'll take a copy of that, but I'll need a copy of the call tonight.
Yeah, we've got three copies here, we can leave it this, it'll have to be, it's a tree like that.
That'll be all piled up there anyway.
What? We can scan that in and you can read it tonight, Bob.
That's all right, I'll pass.
I'll email it to you.
Well, that contract isn't in this.
What's that?
The paper you just had is not in it.
That's part of the funding, the letter that he sent to you, that's what they sent to you. So I just made a copy of that for reference.
Okay, so this is just what the RDA, or the RD, rural development, this is their paperwork?
It's on their form, but it's a contract for engineering services on their form. The sheet of paper that's a single sheet is part of their funding offer. They said, hey, here's your total budget, you're gonna spend this much on construction, this much on property acquisition, this much on engineering, this much on legal. That's their total approved budget. That's part of the funding authorization letter that they sent to you 2 weeks ago.
So this is where most of it's broken down here on the first page of Exhibit C, where you have the starting report, that's where we're showing zero, because it's done already and paid for, so it's not part of this contract.
Right.
So it is part of the funding package that will be reimbursed. Preliminary design, final design.
So that, the preliminary design phase, is that where we're at right now?
That's where we're starting.
Yes.
So that part will be $47,629. And then that takes us to, and then once that's completed, then we go to the final design phase, right? Which is the $272. And then the bidding and negotiating phase three, the contracts, that's $40,000. And then the construction phase.
Construction phase stuff is all hourly, so it fits into.
Is there an estimated cost on that?
Uh-huh. Yeah, so they actually require the one for the hourly stuff, and that's this one right here.
So do you pretty well have somebody on site throughout the whole project? Yeah. How does that work?
When they're drilling the well itself, well, there's not much to see.
Yeah.
But when they're putting pipe in the ground and building the treatment plant, there's somebody there on site. When things are basically getting buried or something like that.
Map exactly where the pipeline goes as it goes in, so we have that. Make sure everything goes in for the plans and specs.
I was going to find it in here, just pass it down there so they see. So
yeah,
they can
exhibit
see.
C, yeah. Isn't that what you just pulled
that's
up right
B.
here?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, right
okay,
here.
That's, so this,
yeah. So this is the first,
I measure that star.
Article 2.
And then there's BC2, which covers like the engineering construction phase services.
So you guys can kind of see the numbers that Kevin's looking at right there.
The RPR is the guy on site all the time.
All here.
Well, this is a little bit different breakdown. So this kind of tells you a little bit more of how it's.
So is this page here?
What sheet's summarized?
This is totally separate. This is the a page from the letter of conditions that Carl sent. So this is what the terms are. So these costs are based on these. And they're all what's itemized in the PER. So what we we've been through, what RG's been through past years.
Money won't be anything.
So what's the administration part of it?
Administration?
What's that? Rural development.
Just kind of dropping through some of the paperwork, bidding, different things like that, to kind of come into that, finding up funding requirements that come up, different things like that. Just the stuff that's not necessarily dealing with the design, but it's just.
So that's still kind of an engineering fee though, isn't it?
Still engineering fee, still part of the design.
That'll go there, if you want another full copy.
So this goes right behind that, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's a one great big package, that's the same package they handed to me.
Well, I guess I'm just trying to figure out what we're, starting with.
Well, I'm not the only one, man, I was thinking the same thing.
I thought we'd have scheduled the same night.
No.
Now I have to go look and make sure it's correctly on.
How's the conference?
Feels good.
So we're starting with the preliminary.
See all you guys up there.
Run through that with this one more time.
Yeah. Yeah. They were kind of.
We're starting with the preliminary engineering report.
So those two items, the environmental and the PER, you've already done.
So them are done.
They're not being paid for.
They're complete.
They're not part of this contract.
Okay.
I just thought we discussed it that way, but.
And then, right now, we're to the point where we've got, you're gonna do a contract for the 272, is that right?
No, the contract is for that amount, plus that amount, plus that amount.
Okay, so the contract amount will be these three. Property, that's property acquisition, interest.
The right of way preparation is just probably there also.
Yeah.
Those three plus that one.
So these three items here.
And this administration.
16 up there.
So we're five, six.
And that.
Yeah, the last page has the.
Last page of the contract.
Oh, the last page in here has it.
It has a summary.
Has it all added up?
Yeah. 703.
Okay.
Engineering, construction.
This would be if we went through the whole project right here, right? The $703,629. And it's a two-year project.
Okay.
Schedule last page.
Next to last. All right here.
Yeah, so it's broken down into.
I'd say it's a hard document to get through.
Construction, RPR. And then with nothing additional.
Last page of summary.
That's the total of these two right here. Construction, services. Basic debt services.
Yeah, so the total of these items comes to this, plus the $93,000 that was due to the architect on the PER, well site study, and the environmental report.
Which will be reimbursed from the loan.
Which we just don't have to borrow that much more money.
Right.
So really, we can come in $90,000 cheaper than originally thinking.
But you get to the end, you get into the grant money, then you can get reimbursed more at that point.
And you expect this project to go back to that timeline?
To.
We're gonna start right away, right?
It'll go to.
During October.
2 years.
May of 2022.
Could go a hair longer than that, though. Did the water shut down or?
No.
Something like that. It could easily go off to the end of that construction season.
Yeah, the winter like we had last year, you work all year.
Yeah. Hopefully we'll have more of those.
Yeah. About sick of seeing smoke every day.
Which part?
Anyway, that's a summary. I obviously don't expect you to give this blessing tonight. I'm taking some questions through it, looking over.
Well.
Earl the Dalton's gonna look at it and put it as well too, so.
So what's the deal with rural development? Is that a done deal or are we still waiting on something there?
So your funding has been approved or committed.
Locked in.
Locked in.
Locked in.
Okay. And these are the documents that have been submitted to them and approved by them.
Well, those documents have not been submitted to them yet.
Oh, they're going to be submitted to them.
Yeah, once you look at it and concur with it, once we get to the point where you and us concur with it, then we'll send it to rural development for their concurrence. Then after that point, then it can be signed by everybody. All three parties have to look at it and agree. I have no lack of confidence that RD will, because it matches what they kind of say, this is what you have, and you should have this in your
You budget. Just filled in their blanks.
Right. We kind of use their numbers to put it in. And so they got those numbers from the PDR, which they approved the numbers in the PDR and then put them into here and just pull them out of there. But what they're going to look at is to make sure that all those places that talk about American Iron and Steel and all that stuff have been added into the contract. So,
well, I don't know. I'm not going to go home and sit and study these. I think that was the purpose for our meeting tonight, so you could guide us through that and you could answer any questions we might have, so that we could. I don't know what the rest of you think, but I'm not going to know more anymore after I read all of these than I am.
Well,
that's why I get my copy of it, because I can go over it 100 times and I still wouldn't know what maybe I need to know. I don't know. I have to trust. I have to trust. That's like you hire a guy to build your house, you don't go over two before, do you?
Right, that's why I gave you that other sheet from the funding packages, so you compare that and look at that. I mean, at the end of the day, the dollars probably mean more than the legal jargon that says.
Right,
right, yep, exactly.
Number, you know, that's right. Why I gave that other sheet as a comparison.
That's kind of where I am. As long as everything is within the dollar, and it sounds to me like maybe we could even maybe save a little bit along the way if we get lucky. Am I right?
Yeah, there's options for that. The one place that sits in the back of my head is, you know, like I mentioned, this process has been rolling along for a long time, so some of those cost estimates are a few years old. And so I don't think we're going to have tons of extra money at the end of the day.
Yeah, I understand that too. It's 2 years. A lot of things has happened in 2 years.
I question whether, I'm just going to use Aspen Village for an example of, what did we do up there? 1,700 feet of pipe? Wasn't even that much.
I don't know.
I can't remember. And it was
going up.
You know.
Cost going up. The one thing.
$350,000 for that pipe, and we're looking at doing 17,000 feet of pipe here. It's like
the one benefit that there is with a larger project is it's more attractive to bid.
Yeah,
a lot more attractive to bid from a contracting standpoint. You know, a contractor comes in and wins this job, and he can be on it for a year and a half or something. And, you know, keeping these guys busy for a long time—that's pretty attractive. And so, we hope to get some competitive contracts. I guess to that point, but it is—I mean, just like a month and a half or so ago. hurricanes hit the south, you know, PVC pipe jumped like 30% in like a week. I mean, that's huge for a week. And I'm hopeful that, you know, throughout this winter, those manufacturing facilities will catch up and the demand will kind of pull off a little bit and it will stabilize a little bit. But that is a reality, that prices are volatile.
Do you figure for that in your?
They got 700,000.
We've got a contingency in there of, I don't recall.
700,000.
This budget that kind of helps and hopes for.
That's what it says on this page right
here.
Yeah, that's what I read. 700,000 contingency.
Which is a lot of money, but it's.
Well,
it's also not either.
It is, but it's not when the project is big.
Yeah.
So how far is the new line coming into town? Where are we tying?
Tying into our existing.
Just comes down to our tank, don't it?
Yep, right. No, it doesn't go all the way to the tank. Just all the new pipe will go from the well to the treatment plant area and from Snake Screen down to the treatment plant area. That's the piping.
And then we'll just tie into the existing.
Tie into the existing pipe that goes down.
Okay. Well, we've won the grant. We've got things well underway to start. I don't necessarily want to start over at this point after 3 years or whatever. I mean, I would suggest that we. Do we have to wait till the regular city council meeting to make this decision, or how does that work?
We do.
It's a work session.
Yeah, because it's just a work session. We can't make any decisions.
Right. This is just to help us get educated to this thing.
That's the purpose of this meeting, to not tie up on your council meetings.
Right. So when we go into a council meeting, we've reviewed the documents. We know what the project is going to consist of as far as the well and the treatment plant and the piping and so forth and what it's going to cost. And the only thing I guess we don't know is we haven't heard any bids back on. Now, what do you got figured on this interim money that we're going to use? Did you have something figured in on that?
I think we got a budget of $30,000.
Yeah, that's what it says.
For interest.
Okay. So we know that's going to cost somewhere around there. That could be.
I think it'll cost actually a hair more than that. When we put that together, we were planning on a higher interest rate and more grants.
Yeah.
Well, because we now got more loan and lower interest rate, that means that time that we're in that interim extends out a little bit. So I think we'll probably go over that a little bit. You know, we might hit 40 or 50 instead of 30 on that. So just because our interim finance.
For the contingency.
Right. That's.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of unknowns that happen when we put the application.
That's why the contingency, I guess.
Yeah.
Right. That's much contingency. Some of the items, like property acquisition, maybe we won't use 140,000. Yeah, we may not use the whole 140, we might use 30 instead of 140 in which case.
Well, the preferred locations for the well and the plant are already on city property.
Right.
So
is the north one on city property over Peterson's?
No.
You know?
I don't think that one is.
That one's not, but the one that the Arlington lady located is right by the acid house. That well, right on city property right there, so.
Right. But there's a budget for acquisition in the event that we have to go across. In the event that we get a snag on coming down through this private property with the pipe that we have to purchase easements, you know, there's budget in there for some.
But it's hard to say what it's actually going to be. You can do a lot of speculation, but until you actually get there, I guess you don't know.
Right. We're going to have a bunch of work on
it. Poke some holes in the ground.
Well, I guess I'd just say, what's your feelings, Sam?
Move forward. I mean, we just need to move forward. I mean, we've already committed somewhat more than committed to the loan, tying up the money.
You've committed to the loan, and the engineering firm has done the work and helped us secure that, and...
And that, like the whole document, I mean, I get how all that works. I mean, it's, you gotta go by the rules when you borrow that money. So, I mean, you gotta, those are just hoops you have to jump through doing that. You know, they're just steps that we have to take. It being reality, I think they are a good thing, because they kind of help keep everything accountable, you know, where the money's going and what it's been, so.
So what happens with, if you don't use all the contingency, does that come off, or what happens there?
Well, so let's say we get to the end of the road, 2 years down the road, we haven't used any contingency, or maybe the project been out low and you really got $1 million instead of $700,000. You find places to spend the money, to be honest with you, because at that point, that's the grant.
Right.
You don't want to give that back.
Right. So we lose the grant if we don't.
At that point, start maybe plugging in some extra filters.
Make a bigger tank.
Make a bigger tank. Maybe replace some of the pipe going down to town.
Okay.
Do anything you can to get approved.
That's what I was wondering.
Anything else that you do, we have to get approved from rural development.
Okay.
They've been good to do that in the past, because ideally, that's where you want it to be.
Well, I think that's where it comes into planning and playing your timeline to your advantage. I think that's, you know, your timelines and your sequence of operation. I think there's a lot of planning that's going to determine your overall costs.
Just try to be as efficient as we can.
Just try to be as efficient as possible for the project. And I honestly think our timing is right. I think we're going into fall, and we've got a little bit of time here to get our ducks in a row and be ready to go, and we can start doing this checking of our water and see what membranes are going to work and all of that kind of stuff. But for certain, I would think that I see no reason why we should hold off putting bid documents out in the middle of the summer when they could be going in the spring, early spring, so that the contractor could be on site as soon as they could. Just little things like that, I think, is going to make the difference.
Yeah, if we know which well we're going to use, then you can do that. You can probably bid that.
Yeah.
We'd start the well as soon as we can.
Yeah, the wells can be drilled over. They can drill over wells.
That's what I say. We get them so we know where we're coming from.
Yeah.
Then the contract, there's no reason we couldn't bid it earlier. If they know everything they got to do.
On the pilot, my question that only comes to my mind is, two things is, are you going to use existing pipe to get it down there to pilot it, or are you going to, because then you're putting that dirty water back in with clean water?
No.
Or would we have to take the pilot up to...
Devin and I talked about that just the other day. Putting the pilot up the mountain would be a pain in the
butt. Yeah.
But the reality is, the water quality between what's getting kicked out and what's coming down as clean water is probably identical, with the exception of a couple of bugs that are getting into the surface. But as far as the chemistry, the hardness, all of these different constituents of the water, they're probably identical.
You could probably test that, couldn't you, and come up with that?
Yeah, we could do a test on both of those and have that. And if they are, then we just say, look, state, we're going to pilot this water because we've already got a pipe. Otherwise, you've got to take it out of service for the whole 4 months, which would be horrible for the city to
it wouldn't be a good
do that. And so it's going to be a function where we test the water quality and then try to pilot it down there near the acid house. Otherwise, we'll have to put the pilot all the way up the top.
That's what I'm saying.
The hind end.
Okay.
big time. I mean, you'll have, Colt will have to go to it.
You'll have to.
Every day.
Well, you'll have to go up and cut a whole bunch of road into there to, because that road going in is pretty overgrown. It'll take quite a bit of work.
Good.
Hopefully that ain't around, but.
Do you think we can get away without having to do that?
Without us pilot at all, no. But I think we could, pilot the good water coming downstream. And then in the worst cases, if we do, jump in and put that pipe in this first spring, then maybe the pilot has to happen after that gets put in, which wouldn't be ideal because it'd be in the late summer, early fall, but it would be better than trying to push the pilot all the way up on the mountain. First do is just take a 55-gallon drum, fill it full of water, and ship it to the membrane facility.
That's what I was going to say. Could we do something like that and get around the?
Right.
Will the state require a pilot?
They do.
Yeah. So, the problem with 55-gallon drum, you're not getting your full 24 hours. Like your MPA is 25 test.
Yeah, for the membrane, it's not necessarily the bug that's coming down. It's the chemicals in the water and how they react with the membrane. And that's going to be the same.
In other words, there was a bit of sand and dirt that was in it. Right. And then it was because it was tinged pretty yellowish red.
And it probably fluctuates. It's probably worse in the spring than
right now. Yeah.
Well, we're already in low. Let's just shift it into drive and go.
We've already spent $80,000 towards it. And we're well on our way with a good plan, and so really what we would need to do is put it on our, correct me if I'm wrong, Jeannie, but put it on the agenda for a city council meeting as a matter of making that decision. Mm-hmm. And right, am I right?
Yep.
So would you put the test wells out as a separate contract? Is that what?
The test well and the production well is a separate contract.
So you do the test well,
the production well is one contract.
Before?
Yeah, right away. This fall or this winter.
Just to see if we can determine a good location.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because if we have to move, then that gives us time to go to the next person somewhere. Get that well going. Of the whole project, that's the risk. Treating the water.
We know that water's there.
The water's there. As far as treating it, it's not a big risk.
Yeah.
But drilling the well, that's the risk. I just assume that right out of the gate. That's my choice. So.
Sandy's going down. Anybody want a piece?
I still got my gum. I'm all right. Thank you. I was
well, thanks for letting us come over tonight, and thanks for doing a special work session instead of council, because I know it's been painful for some citizens to sit there.
Well, I think that this has been very helpful to just know where we're at on this thing, you know, and time frames. Now we got something we can, I don't know, we just covered a lot of ground over the last few years. You know, you've had presentations that explain the modules and the treatment, and we've done the locations. I mean, it's just nice to see it come together. I mean,
kind of summarized up.
Yeah, summarized, and we got money that's approved, and
money coming out of your ears.
I hate to think about starting over.
Well, I just don't feel like we have much of a choice. I mean, we need to develop more source. And
if we have to go another summer with,
do we need all three copies?
One day watering.
Okay.
Worrying about moratorium. And you know, I think the other thing is this, I think we need to start looking at impact fees and those kinds of things. We really do.
We already are.
We can't keep putting that off.
Yeah.
And weren't you going to help us determine, you know, rates and all that kind of stuff? Isn't that part of this?
It's not. We've got a separate proposal that we gave, I don't know, a few weeks ago or a month ago, on impact fees. Yeah, we've got that. And it meshes in with this closely because that's the biggest.
Well, that's what's going to help pay for this.
Well, the impact fees is the fact that this project is hefty to put that 500 gallons a minute extra, which is off the goal. I mean, if you never grew any more, that 300 gallons would be what you need. But the 500 is really for growth, and so that's impact fees.
Yeah.
So that, you know, 5/8 of the cost of this project is impact fee eligible.
Yeah.
Whole thing would be impact.
Well, if it wasn't for new
treatment plant, it would be a new treatment
plant
to regain that water back.
So you have a level of service, and for water systems, the level of service is based on what the state says you have to have. Right now, you don't have enough water for the current residents that you have.
Right.
About 300 gallons a minute short. And so the part of the project that makes up that shortage is not impact fee eligible. Part above that is, and so you typically do this as a ratio. One can say, well, the treatment plants for the existing people and the wells for new people, well, the wells are a lot cheaper than the impact than the treatment plant. But you don't ever do it that way. You take the whole project as one whole and you do it pro rata based on getting at the level of service. It's illegal to charge impact fees for increasing the level of service. And so bringing the level of service up to par is not impact fee eligible. Taking it up,
taking it up.
Water is impact fee eligible.
That makes me pay for something they're already supposed to get.
But theoretically, you could use whatever the impact fee is, whatever we determine it is going to be based on the study. You can essentially use that, all those impact fees, to pay the bond.
Yeah.
The loan.
And you don't have to split up your costs. Just when you calculate how much is the maximum allowable impact fee, you have to take that ratio into consideration. Then once you collect that money, you can spend that money on anything that's justified in the impact fee report, which will most likely be the bond on this note, and then that whole impact fee can go towards that. And that's the easiest thing to do, is just hit a loan, because you have to spend that money within 6 years. And so as you try to project things that you're going to need in the next, you know, 20 years, save that money up, well, you hit 6 years and you're in trouble. So by having a bond like that, it's really easy. You get the money, you throw out the bond, and find yourselves down the road 10, 15 years, and maybe you've paid 7 or 8 years worth of your loan down. Instead of a 40-year loan, now it's a 32-year loan, because you paid off a couple of years of your loan through impact fees.
They can't hurt the impact of growth.
What's that?
I said they can't hurt the impact of growth if they're too high.
If they're too high, people may look at it and say, well, I'll go move in the need for the impact fees or less. Something like that. But the reality is, a few $1,000 impact fee for a home, that's such a small
pittance. Well, let's see.
$2,500 impact fee.
Every house is healthy.
Yeah.
Well, it's more than that. Right? Our own homes are more than that. They were.
Well, I paid $2,300 down there where President Meeker lives now. I built that house.
Do you want to take one to look at?
Yeah.
You mean put me to sleep at night?
Yeah. You want to take one to look at?
It don't matter.
That's the.
Let's put them to use.
This is the EJCDC, is that?
Yeah, it's the EJCDC.
One for you, Bill.
No, I'm good.
I did like looking at that last page. That last page helped explain it a little bit. Or next to the last page, whatever page it was.
What does she want? What does Jeannie need?
I gave Justin mine.
Oh, okay.
Not the last page.
That is second C of Jill.
Second to the last.
For some reason, I thought we were walking to a separate house tonight.
Well, thank you, guys. Be careful.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate your time.
Will you, as I say, we probably ought to make sure on that other well site.
Property?
That's probably one thing we need to look at fairly quick.
Who the property owner is.
Yeah.
Is that the other one that was down?
One north, across the diversion down on the north side.
Probably left, but I won't be here.
We can look at that.
I think it was on Peterson's.
It is.
Sounds like.
Well, I make a motion that we adjourn, Mayor.
Okay, let's adjourn. Do we have a second? We gotta have a second on it.
Second that.
I think it was small. I just folded mine out off.
There's an extra one, Sam.
There's an extra one.
I'm assuming all are in favor.
Yes, all is in favor.
Yay!
So tomorrow night, we.
Yeah, let's get this.